Good morning, everyone. Thursday, December 8th, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And we've got the text line back today, so fire them in. Apologies, it wasn't working yesterday. 0419767272. In that regard, second test starts today. Australia and the West Indies over there in South Australia, the Great Adelaide Oval. And I think we'll get a few more people through than what we saw over there in the Perth test. Day-night test, of course, as well. Counting down to the big quarterfinals in the World Cup this weekend. And we've got the A-League back on tomorrow night as well. Wonder if there'll be just, you know, a few more going through the gates there as well off the back of what the Socceroos achieved in Qatar over the last 3 weeks or so. But Lozza, a very good morning to you, mate. What's doing?
Not much, Bino. Looking forward to the cricket. Can't wait for the Aussies to play this afternoon, to have something on in the background, take us into the night. They were, well, pretty dominant, you would say, especially with the bat in the first test. And I possibly worry about the West Indies in this game with the pink ball. Might be doing a bit too much for the Windies to be able to handle. No surprise that Pat Cummins won't be there. They announced that late yesterday that he'll be missing this game. The Australian captain injured his quad in that game. First test match against the West Indies over there in Perth. And with the quick turnaround taking on South Africa in up there at the Gabba in the first test against the South Africans, who I think will be more than a challenge for the Australians. They've decided to err on the side of caution and give Scott Boland another opportunity. He was remarkable last year, Scott Boland, wasn't he? He made his test debut in the Boxing Day test, and then he played in the Sydney test as well. But at 32 years of age, just one of those guys that can get a wicket. He puts the ball in the right area. It seems to work for him. He's a late bloomer, but given his opportunity, he hasn't let Australia down.
Certainly hasn't. 33 years of age, Boland, and as Lozza mentioned, boy, he ended up playing 3 tests in the Ashes last summer. Took 18 wickets at 9.55, yeah, and including that famous 6-for-7 in the Boxing Day test as we wrap that up against England. So I'll tell you what, he could be a real asset over in the UK next year as well. I reckon in those conditions especially, he would really thrive.
Well, for me, he just puts it on the spot, doesn't he? Mm. Just always that line and length. He does a little bit with the ball. It's amazing to think, though, at, what did you say, 33? You're just getting an opportunity now. He's had to wait in the wilderness. It just shows you the strength of the Australian bowling attack. And, you know, when you've got Hazelwood, Cummins and Stark, there's not many opportunities there if those guys aren't out injured. They've played a lot of test cricket. I think I read somewhere the other day where the current 4 Australian bowlers all have over 200 wickets. So that just shows you that they've been around for a fair period of time. And, you don't want to give another person an opportunity if you don't have to. But Scott Boland, he's done everything right. And you would think, you know, with this pink ball, he'll get another opportunity to take a bagful. Against the West Indies, who's not, you know, a strong test side. They do have their weaknesses, obviously. They did bat time in the first test, but with the ball zipping around a little bit more in this game, well, we're expecting it to zip around a little bit more in this game, he could be our man to take a bag full of wickets again.
Pup will be joining us shortly, just sorting out his tech. And we'll have him on air with us very shortly. But just some rugby league news last night. Deddy Widler, our man at the Nine Network, tweeted, Loz, some news there at the Sharks. And Buzz sort of indicated the other day just there could be a flurry of signings between now and Christmas. So one of those, a player off contract, Sifa Talakai, has extended for 3 years there at Cronulla. So he'll be there until the end of 2026, Denny tweeted last night. Certainly had a breakout season, really, didn't he? 7 tries in 21 games this year and ended up playing Origin.
Yeah, he's a very good player. More of a back rower, turned into a powerhouse centre. And he had that dominant game against Manly at Shark Park there halfway through the season where he was unstoppable, and that put his name in lights and gave him the opportunity to play for New South Wales. But he's certainly a strike centre. He's a powerful man. He's good at the back of the field. You know, defensively, he found himself in trouble at times, but what he does do with the ball... he's pretty special. He's a tackle breaker. He carries the ball strongly. out of his own half. But then if he gets an opportunity inside the opposition 20-metre zone, then he takes advantage of that because he can beat people with his speed, but also his strength. They're building nicely. They had a wonderful season last year under their new coach, Craig Fitzgibbon. And you'd think that they'll improve again. You know, this is where Cronulla, they need to kick. They got knocked out in their opening, well, their two semi-final games last year. They did finish in the top four, but to bounce out the way they did, they'd be disappointed with that. They've got a strong roster, so they are a team that should go better this season.
It was one of the better individual performances of the season when Talakai, I think it was Manly, wasn't it,
on a Thursday night
or a Friday night? Yeah, oh, poor old
It was
Morgan
in the
Harper.
Rain too.
Yeah.
It was in the rain. They led 30-something nil at half-time.
He was untouchable, Talakai.
Yeah, he was. He was outstanding. And that put him on the radar for State of Origin selections. And the fact that he could play back row, he could play centre, that sort of torpedoed him in front of a few of the other players. It didn't work out for him in that last Origin game. Or didn't work out for the team, I should say. They went down to Queensland. But no, they've got a beauty there in Talakai, locking him in for 3 years.
Willow from Windsor on the text line. We will be watching reruns of Border Security by Saturday night. The Windies won't handle the pink ball at all. Pup, we got you. Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Boys, morning. Sorry for the delay. Morning to our listeners. Everything's sorted in here. And yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Good morning. And yeah, geez. Davey didn't miss.
Oh, yeah.
Did he? You can tell he's disappointed and frustrated. And I think the other thing that probably hurts a little bit more is the fact that Steve Smith's going to captain this test match. So that... I can understand Davey's disappointment. Look, I've made it pretty clear, I think, in regards to where Davey is with his age. You know, he's unfortunately missed out on the captaincy opportunity, in my opinion. I think, you know, Cricket Australia would be looking, if it wasn't Pat Cummins, for someone of that sort of age, where Davey's at an age where he's closer to retirement. And he's made that clear himself, you know, that his goal is to get to the Ashes series. So I didn't think there was... I don't think that's the concern. I think it's more the fact that it's taken so long to process this or to get to where it's at. And I think that I see it very inconsistent. I find it very hard to believe that it's okay for one, but it's not okay for the other to have a leadership role. I think if Cricket Australia decided that all the guys involved in what went down in South Africa, none of them were going to play a leadership role, I think that's that's a fair call. But if it's okay for one, if it's okay for Smitty, then I think it's got to be okay for Bancroft and it's got to be okay for Warner. So I certainly understand his disappointment and frustration. Like I say, this is probably hurting him a little bit more because of the fact that now, Smitty's going to captain this test match.
Okay, just before we get to the headlines, your say on this David Warner statement last night. Good on you, Davey Warner, not bringing old dirt up so his family and teammates suffer and giving up his opportunity to captain. Unlike the other two, very unselfish. If anything, he would be first picked in any team I'm in. Solid as a rock, says Mailman from Marrickville. Rod from Foster, morning boys. Gee, Davey Warner didn't miss Cricket Australia in his tweets yesterday. Just wondering your thoughts. Cameron Bancroft and David Warner had a completely different role to Smith in the ball tampering. Glad to see Smith captain again, says Luke from Lake Macquarie. So
that one's a tough one, Middo. That's the thing. They've all got different roles to play, but to me, like when you captain Australia... under your watch, you unfortunately or fortunately, depends how you look at it, that's part and parcel of what comes with it. So I know, you know, Steve Smith wasn't the one that actually did the crime, but it was under his watch. And I think that's why a lot of people find it hard to, certainly past players of any standard of cricket, because they understand the captain's role in a team. That's why I think it's very hard to, you know, take... individual roles here, like the other side as well. It's the same thing. People are saying Davey Warner's was the instigator, but if I tell you to jump off the Harbour Bridge, it's up to you to jump. You know, so I just think we've got to be really careful, because again, the other thing as well that causes frustration here, I don't believe all the information is out there. I think there's still so many question marks around what happened, how it happened, what was said, how did Bancroft get involved, was it happening before that test match? There's so many questions. I think we need to be really careful because we haven't been given, I don't think we've been given 100% all the information. And I find it hard to separate. I think if you're involved in that, then, you know, I don't know if it's fair to make David Warner the complete scapegoat and say, righty, everyone else can just go back to normal. We'll forgive you, but we won't forgive Davey. I think if, you know, and I'm still unsure whether any of them should be involved in a leadership role. Like, I think I've made it pretty clear. I thought, you know, when Pat Cummins got the captaincy, that's who I thought should have been captain. I didn't think it should have went back to Smitty. I think they missed that. That's part of, you know, what went down in South Africa, and they can still play a leadership role in the team without the C or the VC beside their name. That's probably where I've always sat on it. But I think it's a tough one for Davey to swallow, the fact that, you know, there's rules in place for him and not for the others.
What's going on with Cricket Australia here, though? So the headlines are, I won't cop a public lynching. Back page of the Telegraph, the Australian crushing penalty. Warner withdraws his captaincy bid to avoid more trauma. And back
this
page of the Australian.
It's the last thing cricket needed as well. This just adds the fuel to the fire, is why the fans peed off. Mm. You know, this is going to again polarise. Some people are going to say Davey should be given the opportunity if the other guys are, like I'm saying. And then some others are going to say, nah, he shouldn't be kept. Like, it's just negative press again for cricket. And it's, you know, the fans going, exactly what you just said, you know, what is happening with Cricket Australia?
Mm. Warner rejects public lynching, back page of the Australian. So the context is, so David Warner put out a statement on social media last night saying he's withdrawn. It was very lengthy. And he's saying he's withdrawn his application to have his leadership ban overturned, saying he's not prepared to subject his family or teammates to further trauma. Now, he's basically saying the goalposts have shifted in the way the process was to occur. He even alleges the counsel that assisting the independent panel for the hearing made offensive comments. Now, Warner says it was demanded, this is the big change, it was demanded he be cross-examined publicly, so not in a private, so this can be viewed publicly, this hearing that he was supposedly going to go and have. And you could only imagine, if you cross-examine publicly, you are bringing up detail of what happened during the Sandpapergate scandal, and we play South Africa in a couple of weeks, well, next Saturday.
Mido, you know what, I wish the fact that there's bits and pieces of what went down is out there, right, to protect so many people, is the problem with all of this. If they want to make it public, the whole lot should be public. From start to finish should be public. You know, you can't pick and choose what you're going to make public and what you're not going to make public. And again, I think the other thing, it's how do you move, if it keeps coming up, how do you move on? How does cricket move on? You know, unfortunately for this Australian team, a lot of players that were involved then are involved now. So really, it seems like until they retire, this is just going to keep coming up, because there's so many questions around what went down.
Yeah. And, gee, I'll tell you what, the text line, it is, it's going off here. So sorry, boys, but this just shows again why the public is off the Aussie cricket team at the moment. Once again, bringing up Sandpapergate all through the media. The way Warner's carrying on is a joke. He himself brought the game into complete disrepute through a young fella under the bus. Should never be captain. Lucky to be playing again. Flat track bully at best. Move on, retire. No Ouch. Name to that one. Morning, boys. Warner needs to score runs and shut the you-know-what up, says Fitzy. Can't wait until Warner retires. Australia needs to move on. Tim at Surry Hills.
Jeez,
and
it
they continue.
Doesn't it?
They
polarizes.
Continue. Yeah. He's got his supporters and detractors.
Yeah.
And our text line says it all, Loz. Like, it's just an issue, as Pup says, until we all know everything, it's never going to go away.
Well, it just shows you they stuffed the initial investigation up. They did it within 2 days, 3 days, made the decision.
Well said, Loz.
And they haven't done it properly.
Mm. Yeah, well said.
And so they should be held to account for that.
And, you know, you're right. They should be held to account, because you look at Cricket Australia's form. I mean, the other one for me is just the Tim Payne saga.
Yeah.
Where he was cleared by the organisation in an investigation.
But it's the same thing now, Mido. This is the part that makes it hard. Like, the leadership has now swapped hands. There's a different CEO. There's a different high-performance manager. There's a different head coach. Like, because all of that has changed now, it's easy for Cricket Australia to say, well, mate, we're not going back there. All of that was years ago and we had different people involved. Decisions were made from a different board. You know, it's easy to wipe your hands of it. But from Davey's perspective, that's why I understand Davey's frustration. You know, I really do. And I just think, oh, I said it at the time and I'll say it again. There's so much around how that was handled that was just not the right way. Starting from doing the crime. Let's start there, you know. But so everyone involved, I think, has wanted it, you know, to just go. How does it just go away? Don't say anything. Let it go. But this is the other thing. Mate, Faf du Plessis just wrote a book. It's in his book. You think when, you know, these Australian players retire, they're going to have their own memory of what went down and they'll have to put it in their book. So it's going to keep coming until, I don't know, until the fans or the public either get completely sick and tired of it or, like I say, until I feel like all of these guys that were involved are out of the team so then the public can move on. This is the last thing cricket needs right now.
Yeah. And you talk about the public getting sick and tired of it. More texts here. Morning, boys. My missus asked me yesterday evening, why is there always a drama with cricket? My love was tainted from three blokes crying because they got caught cheating, says Grant from Newey. You only have to look at the crowd numbers to tell that everyone's fed up with all the BS that's happening with Cricket Australia. Get a grip, says Big D in Newcastle. And there's more and more texts there as well. But we'll certainly take your calls through the morning as well. 1353.
Loz, can I ask you, Loz, who's been in a leadership role? And again, you've seen so many, you know, people go through ups and downs in rugby league and get another opportunity and come back. Do you think, let's say all three of the guys, do you think they should be given the opportunity to be in a leadership role again? Or do you think they should have lost that? And are you okay for one to not get it and the others to be okay to get it?
No, I'm not. I think all three need to accept responsibility for what happened.
Yeah.
All three, from what I saw, were remorseful for what happened.
Yeah, agree.
But all three put their hand up and said they were involved. So you have to give them a punishment. But the punishment has to fit the crime. Now, yep. I'm unsure of what the length of punishment is because ball tampering, what I'm led to believe, and they did it on a serious level, but ball tampering happens. Mm. There's different forms of ball tampering.
Yeah, well, they call it ball management, don't they? Yeah. Versus cheating. Yeah. That's what they're trying to say the difference is. Yeah. But, yeah,
And I get frustrated because I'm sitting here watching Cricket Australia act and all I'm thinking about is them protecting their reputation.
Yeah, 100%.
Well said.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing them worrying about the player.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not worrying about what they've done and investigating it properly.
Yeah.
All they are worried about is their own perception of Cricket Australia.
Yeah, well said.
So true. Give us a call, 1353 53 on the text line 0419 767 272. And, Loz, you've got a bit of a shout-out for one of our callers too.
Yeah, Chicken Chow Min.
One of our faves.
One of our faves, yeah. He's doing it a little bit tough at the moment. Sorry for their loss of his brother.
It's really tough.
Yeah, they'd be doing it tough at the moment. So, Chicken Chow, we're thinking of you, mate.
Yeah,
hopefully you're doing okay, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, no, thinking of you and your family, Chicken Chow, for sure. So 1353 53 is the number. So Plup Cummins out and Scott Boland in.
Yep.
And Stark and Hazelwood are playing. But we did have a text here before. I think it was Mitch from Robertson, who's all over it, Mitch, saying that, here it is. Hey, boys, I heard yesterday Michael Neese's family was on a flight to Adelaide yesterday. Does Pup think there may be a late change with the bowlers, another late change?
I don't think so. I think if they're fit, Stark and Hazelwood will definitely want to play, especially now Cummins is out. I think it's a smart decision from Cricket Australia medical staff and Pat. I think there was a huge risk him going back onto the field and fielding the other day. I couldn't believe he did that. And then if he was to play this test match and risk doing more damage and miss the entire South Africa series, I think would have been a really silly decision. So I think they've made the right decision. I think it's smart. Paddy now gets himself right for a big series against South Africa. And Scott Boland comes in, who's been outstanding. I think he's... You know, he's a crowd favourite in Melbourne. He's probably a crowd favourite all around Australia, to be honest. But he's grabbed his opportunity. I'm happy they went with him as well. I know they brought another couple of quicks into the squad, but I think Scott Boland is the right guy to replace Paddy. He's earned the right. He's been very consistent over a long period of time, and I don't think it'll make a significant difference to the result, to be honest. So Scotty comes in, gets another crack. I'm sure he'll do well. Paddy gets himself 100% fit for South Africa. So smart by all involved.
We've got David. Morning, David.
How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Look, it's just not about the sandpaper gate with Dave Warner. He used to be the face of the players and demanded more and more and more with the war with the Player Association and Cricket Australia before Sandpaper Gate. Then we got, as a viewer, we got Sandpaper Gate. So with Smith, Warner and anyone else that was involved with it should never be a captain of Australia.
Yeah.
It's a earned thing, not a given thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's harsh, but I think that's fair. I think those three guys have been forgiven and should be forgiven and should get another opportunity to play for Australia. Just that is a huge honour. Just to be part of that Australian team is such an honour. So I think that was their reprieve. I am a little bit like that last caller. I don't think any of them need to have a leadership role on the Australian team. Sorry, when I say leadership role, the captaincy or the vice captaincy. I think they definitely should play a leadership role and help the captain and vice captain and use their experiences to give back to the game. But I think their role is to score runs or take wickets or whatever they do in the team. I don't think they necessarily need to have that captain or vice captain beside their name again.
Thanks for the call. John, morning.
G'day, fellas.
How are you
going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Go for it.
Pretty pumped listening to all this morning.
Oh, I'd love to get your thoughts, mate.
I hope you can give me a couple of minutes, Michael. I've got something I'd like to talk to you about,
Go
mate.
For it, buddy. Go for it, mate.
I was alerted last night, just first before I come to David Warner. Quickly, yep. I was alerted last night to a link by a couple of cricketing mates on the Daily Telegraph about Patrick Cummins being out of this test.
Yep.
What I saw in comments on there are some of the most disgusting comments.
Mate, I can only imagine, buddy. I can only imagine.
By so-called Australian fans.
Yeah.
In regards to what, John? His comments that he's made recently or just because he's out of this test match?
Oh, just basically, they're going back to the ludicrous thing about the conscientious young man and his opinion on climate change.
Yep. Yeah.
Basically, ironically, these morons and their comments are more politically motivated than what Patrick Cummins is. And it's there's a horrible storm brewing at the moment for Australian cricket, because we're going to go into two series next year that we are unlikely to win as it stands, against India and against England. In my opinion, we will be lucky to come away with wins in either series. Then the hatred and the demand to drop certain players is going to increase even more.
Yeah, that's been consistent over a long time, though, John. I think I don't mind that. I don't mind the pressure that comes with playing for Australia. If you don't perform, then they're always looking for change. I don't mind that. I don't like the personal vendetta and the crack at Paddy Cummins for whatever his values are. I think are very harsh, and I think we're quick to put all the blame on someone. So we're sort of blaming Paddy for, you know, Cricket Australia walking away from a sponsorship. Well, there might be more than Paddy that doesn't want to be involved. So, again, I don't look at the comments and stuff like that, because it's scathing. Mm. It's horrible to read.
Always. I do agree with John, though, Pup. I think it's going to be magnified.
100%. Let me tell you right now. Imagine if Steve Smith was full-time captain.
Yeah, well, it'd be worse.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, like, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying right now, players, just concentrate on trying to do your best to win. This stuff's coming, Middo. You can't protect it, mate. If we stay where we are now, this Australian cricket team, it's gonna be uproar every time we lose. But this is where the players have got to be strong. Try and get better. Try and work on your game. Go to India and find a way to win. Go to England and find a way to win. That's all they can concentrate on. They can't be worried about all the criticism that's come. They can't be worried about Sandpapergate. You know, this is I wonder if Davey Warner has spoken to Andrew McDonald and Pat Cummins before putting out that Instagram post last night. Because if he had, I would imagine they would be saying, Davey, can you please, right now with where we are, can you please say nothing? Can you please just let it go? You know, that's the part where the team needs to become so tight that they're making decisions based on what's best for the team. And Davey has every right to be peed off, in my opinion, in regards with to how this is different for him versus the others and how this has been the process that this has been dealt with. I get that and respect Davey for that. But I don't know if last night him putting that out was the best thing for the team either.
Continue, John.
Fellas, back to David Warner, Michael. A question for you, mate. Leading up to South Africa in 2018, there was the protracted pay dispute, which Davey was front and centre. Then straight into the most emotional series, I would imagine, as you would know, mate, that a test player can play in the Ashes. Where I look at this whole saga and point the finger at Cricket Australia is I don't believe that they managed David Warner emotionally and mentally correctly through this period. He was then the only player that was forced to go and play in a ludicrous T20 series in New Zealand before South Africa. Your own Matt Burke, I remember at the time, spoke about disgusting comments directed at David Warner's wife and children at Sydney at the SCG Ashes Test. When Davey got to South Africa, the South African fans accelerated. They were even worse to the stage where Cricket Australia finally stepped in around that stairwell incident with Quinton de Kock. Where I believe Cricket Australia really erred is I think David was showing at the time that he was emotionally frazzled. And after that incident in that stairwell, he should have been sent home. Straight after that incident. Instead, things were left to fester there in South Africa. And we all know what resulted from it.
Yeah, look, there's been so much in Davey's career, and only he would know where he was mentally. I think he makes it very clear in his Instagram post that he doesn't want to put his family through this. He doesn't want to put himself and his family through this. Go back through that whole process. So. I think everyone goes through so much. You play sport at the highest level over a long period of time. It is an emotional roller coaster, and there's some really, really tough days where you've still got to walk out in front of the world and hide your feelings and hide your emotions and go and try and do what you do. And sometimes it does. It all boils over, you know. So, yeah, the balance is extremely hard, and you do need support and help. And, you know, do Cricket Australia give enough of that? I'm not sure. We spoke to Shane Watson yesterday, who's head of the ACA, or president of the ACA, and he's just written a book about the mental side of sport at the highest level, or his journey through it anyway, and thinks that, you know, it's still not where it needs to be. So maybe, you know, Watto's very close to, you know, what's happening still around the players. So maybe that's a good example that, you know, we need to be doing more for the mental side of not just playing the game, but living that lifestyle as well. There's still no excuse for what went down in South Africa. I can't excuse any of the boys for what went down. It's still hard for me to even talk about, you know. It's a sad day, very, very, the saddest day in my experience with cricket, you know, in my 41 years of being here. So, that will live forever. But that's the other side of the punishment. These three guys, they walk into a pub long after they're retired, and let me tell you, The blokes up the other end of the pub have a few beers. They will be yelling stuff to these three blokes about what went down in South Africa.
Yep.
That, like, I spoke to Trevor Chappell about what happened with him. Mate, he's still copping it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that was legal. What these three boys did was illegal on a cricket field. So the punishment is there for life. Yeah, they have to live with it. And that's why I feel like I love that they're back playing. I love that we've forgiven them. I love that we're giving them a second shot. They're three good blokes. I'm telling you, they're three good people that made a major mistake. But, I hate that we're still talking about it because it's impacted cricket from the day it happened. And it probably will do, like I say, until all the players that were involved in that test match are long retired.
I think the other thing, Pop, is that because there's so many unanswered questions.
I agree, mate. I agree 100%.
Like with the Trevor Chappell thing, you saw it.
Yeah.
Watched it unfold. Everyone knew
what
the go was because you saw the reaction of Rod Marsh. You saw the teammates. Greg Chappell, he was frazzled. Trevor Chappell, I don't think, wanted to do it, but he went on the instructions of his brother. Yeah. This thing here in South Africa,
it's Chinese whispers.
And everyone's run for the hills. Cricket Australia looked after themselves. 100%, the player looked after themselves. And then we still haven't heard the full story.
So true.
Yeah, you're right. Mate, you are 100% right.
Thank you for the call. Love your passion, John, as always. Just a bit more of your say on the text line before we go to a break. Gents, these blokes blatantly cheated whilst playing with a baggy green on their head from a sporting perspective. Doesn't get any worse than that. I haven't watched a ball bowl while they are still playing and won't till they are all gone, says Peter. What else have we got here? Morning, boys. I'm not supporting Australia in this test match. Been a cricket fan my whole life. Whenever they give the captaincy back to Smith, my loyalty goes out the window. Go the West Indies. Cheers, Jack from Grafton. Gents, surely if they are a fit and proper person to wear the baggy green, they would be a fit and proper person to be the captain, says Rocky from Creso. And there is stacks more there. This is such an emotive topic and always will be. We'll take a quick break and we're going to talk some racing on the other side. We're going to be joined by Adrian Bott. But thinking about your next build or renovation, Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. There's advice and tips to get you started. They even have a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. Just go to www.wideline.com.au. Well, we have the Ingham. $2 million, the Ingham, on Saturday there at Royal Randwick and the Waterhouse Bot Stable. They got three runners. And Riadini, Dajran, both last start winners, Surf Dancer in the race as well. And joining us is Adrian Bott. Adrian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Now, this is a confession for you because you've drawn barriers 17, 19 and 22. So what are your sins, Adrian? What have you done?
Yeah. I was actually just trying to work that out this week, what I'd done wrong. But yeah, not the kindest of draws for us. But look, cards have been dealt, so we'll deal with them. And, plenty of winners that come out wide before.
Can you make a case for all of them, Adrian, or is there one in particular that might stand out?
No, look, certainly can. Look, I obviously probably favour the two last start winners for obvious reasons sort of going into the race, but can certainly make a case for them all. Sort of probably hard to split Riadini coming off the gong. I think he'll take a huge amount of confidence off that. He hadn't won for a while, but he did it nicely. There's plenty to like about, and he's proven at that class all the way through. So that sort of certainly gives you confidence. But in terms of sort of the most improvement out of their last start, you'd expect Dajran would have that, just only sort of being their first up, and physically he'll improve a lot, and he's probably sort of the up and comer out of the three.
And just having a quick look at the race, it looks like maybe Spirit Ridge is the only other genuine leader. So even from those wide gates, they should be able to get across and get a position.
Yeah, they certainly all got the tactical speed, to be able to sort of sit handy enough. Surf Dancer showed brilliant gate speed in the gong there to be able to lead them up in the early stages. So we might have to sort of look to utilise that. Same thing, Dajran, he won the festival from, I think, Barrier 15 as well, and Tim was sort of able to take his time and sort of slide across. And same thing here; it's a good run in from the mile. So that's the most important thing. If he can sort of find a nice rhythm and have himself handy enough, he's got a lightweight Darge run that can be effective. And Rhea Deeney, we've sort of probably just stripped everything back this campaign, took off the blinkers, and just sort of tried to hit the reset button all the way through. And he's been sort of settling well in his races and finding the line strongly. So, you know, I guess it's going to be hard to sort of get a bit of cover there. But I guess these big fields in the handicap races and when they're running for $2 million, that does create a bit more pressure in the races. They tend to string them along. And even if it may not look that way on paper, they certainly, everyone does get running there early.
And just on the rebrand of the race itself, the Old Villiers $2 million race, and honouring the Inghams as well, and raising awareness for the Ingham Institute. And I'm sure growing up, Adrian, you saw, well, loved a lot of those horses in those Orsarice colours as well.
Yeah, no, that, you know, famous colours, weren't they? Plenty of success and history there. So yeah, looking forward to supporting the day and obviously the race. So I feel so honoured to have three nice chances in there, supporting the charity event on the day as well. So hopefully we can have a bit of luck with one of those three. That certainly wouldn't swap them for anything else.
You got a 2-year-old colt, the Little Pumper, in the English nursery. How's he trialled up?
He's trialled up great. His latest trial was very, very good. I thought he's looked pretty professional on both occasions. He's going there with a good grounding. He's sort of had plenty of work sort of leading into this. So nice and forward for it. Obviously there's a couple of handy types in there and a few with the race experience, which does count for so much. But been really pleased. This has sort of been a target for him for a good while, and certainly feel he's a good chance. Certainly a good each way chance for us here on the day.
You've got Navy Cross in the ninth at big odds.
Yeah, he's probably going to need a couple of runs before we start to see him at his best. Miles a bit short of his best trip as well. So we've got him aimed third up at the Magic Millions, which is sort of, hopefully trying to win that race for him again. If he's only picking up one race, it's a year. That $1 million race is a good one to try and pick up.
You got a couple in, or about four in at Canterbury tomorrow night, three in the one race, Extravagan, High Dubai, Rocketeer Girl. You've got another in race three, Country Blues. So can you make a case or the best case for one of those?
And probably the best chance of those tomorrow night would be High Dubai. In the fillies race, she's got good speed. The track should suit her around at Canterbury, and she's trialled up nicely on a few occasions. So she would probably be the favourite of those runners going there tomorrow night.
And your opinion on the run of Deciduous yesterday at the farm as well?
Yeah, excellent. He's a really nice horse to follow going forward. You expect him sort of get over a bit of ground later in his campaign. Things might have happened a little bit quickly for him there. He didn't sort of have the best of luck and sort of just had his momentum halted a few occasions. So just probably showed his his greenness a little, I guess. Another occasion that the horse with the race experience was sort of able to do things right and get the job done on the day.
Well, we know horse training's a demanding job, Adrian. Do you take a spell around Christmas time or do you just keep going?
Christmas will just keep going. Yeah. There's sort of plenty happening. Obviously, the Magic Millions are sort of right on the doorstep, big carnival there. And, we've sort of now that with the lead up all the way through with races like the Gong and the Ingham and everything like that. So it's sort of all happening, and all the autumn horses are already back in work and their campaigns are started. So it's sort of probably a tough time of year to take off, but have found time a month ago to have a week off or so. So things aren't too bad.
I'll tell you what, 2023 looks all right for the stable though. You've got the Everest winner in Alcohol Free and the Melbourne Cup winner in White Marlin. It's going to be easy.
looking forward to it. That certainly does make working through over Christmas and the early morning is a bit of a spring in the step for sure.
Ah, great stuff, Adrian. Appreciate your time as always. And busy period, as you said. Good luck with it all and enjoy.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Of course, it was a big night at Happy Valley and the Hong Kong International Jockeys Championship. And it was won. It was dead heated. Won by Sylvester D'Souza and Tom Marquand were the joint winners of the International Jockeys Challenge there last night. Jamie Carr was fifth. Huey Bowman, sixth. J-Mac, ninth, along with Ryan Moore. So just there at Happy Valley. Apparently it's... have you done it, Loz? No,
I haven't been.
Oh, gee, they say it's good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great reports about it. They say it's one of the great race meetings.
There was a turn-up in the eating world recently over the weekend. Joey Chestnut, He was beaten in a shrimp cocktail eating competition. That's his first defeat in a shrimp cocktail eating competition in 8 years, pup.
Who got him?
Fourth. That was in Indianapolis
on
the weekend.
He's injured. He's got heartburn. He's got heartburn, mate, for sure.
So I'll tell you what, the winner, a bloke called Jeffrey Esper, won well too. So Chestnut put away 10 pounds and 9.6 ounces as opposed to Esper, who put down 16 pounds and 6 ounces. So that was a huge upset, obviously, in the world of eating. But then in halftime of the NBA yesterday, Cleveland and the Lakers. Now, I think they're pronounced, and I'm sure listeners probably know better than me here, pierogies. Well, they're dumplings. So he took on some fans in a dumpling eating competition, about five or six other fans there at halftime. So Joey Chestnut, he downed 47 of them, and the combined rest of the competition put down 33. I'm not sure in how long, but he got
some redemption. Expensive groceries, I reckon. Imagine the Woolies, bill. Surely he can't be going to Paris.
Well, he's not going to your local supermarket. But it's just, I just can't get over.
He looked crook.
He's injured. He's got heartburn.
Yeah, there's some stress on his face.
Yeah, no, he looks stressed. So I don't think he's quite
at his best.
I think he's come into this
tournament. He might have mouth ulcers, actually.
Yeah, he's come into the tournament a bit off, I reckon.
I agree.
These blokes in Cleveland who have come down and, let's take him on at halftime, and they...
What about the fist pump?
Yeah, they're happy, and there's four or five of them. So they've got 33 of these dumplings combined, Chestnut 47 on his own. So, that's it's men against boys, to say the least.
Yeah, look, he's a professional, isn't he? He does it for a living, Joey. He raises the
Even
fist.
With heartburn, he's got him covered.
Yeah, but he just looks... He doesn't look well.
Yeah.
Not at his fittest.
No, he doesn't, mate. He looks like he's under duress.
Do you reckon there's problems at home?
He could marriage problems. Are you married, Joey?
No, I don't know.
Forgot to put the pins out.
How do you marry that?
Done. I don't know. What do you do for a job? What do you do for a job? I eat hot dogs.
I'm a good eater, babe. I'm a good eater.
I swallow hot dogs.
Oh, imagine if you had, like, I don't know, Clarkie, a Tinder profile or something. What do you put on there?
Hot dog swallower. Mate, you know when you fill out you go to the doctor or you go somewhere and it's got occupation. Or you fill out a visa and it's still occupation. What's he call himself? Hot dog eater. What is it called,
when
really?
On the plane going into another country.
Professional eater. Customs is not letting you through with professional leader on there, surely.
He might have to do the old Google me when they don't believe him.
What about when they say, mate, come on, no, what do you really do? Yeah. No, I'm a professional leader. Well,
trying to get into the States to do some work. They go, mate, you're not going there to eat.
Joey, the trials
and tribulations. We love him.
Who was our man we had on the show the other week?
I can't remember yesterday, but anyway, I'll have a crack.
We'll have to get him.
What were we talking about?
The Aussie bloke who's gone over and joined the Eagles.
Yeah, who ate that big burger?
Oh. He ate the burger up in the Hunter.
Yes.
South side of Cessnock. Yes,
that's right.
And he's ripped. Unbelievable. G'day, Gowie.
Morning, fellas.
Now, what did you play in? The Cathedral Invitational, was it?
Yes, I did.
Tell us how you went.
Well, I finished out of 46 players, all the young guns, a few older guys. I finished 27th. I shot four over the first day, which was horrendous conditions, and then one over on the final day. But the good news is that, I beat home Ogilvy, Harrison Crowe, Nick Ahern. But the main one that my whole goal was to beat home Peter Lonard, and I got him covered. Oh, and he was spruiking in the morning, Bulldog supporter. We've fought for years, and I dusted him. So I'm letting everybody know who wants to know.
Any sledging going on, Gowie, when you're out there?
Yes. Well, I am because, I'm past it. But the young guys, they don't sledge. But it was very funny on, every one of them's got a, they're copying Pappenhausen and Cam Smith. They've all got mullets. So surprisingly enough, I got caught at a seat on the dinner night with all the young guys who've got mullets. To their surprise, I said, I had a mullet 30 years ago with an earring. So I said, you guys are way behind. But I had to get up and leave because they're laying that much crap on me. I couldn't take it anymore. It was 45 minutes of abuse. So I dusted up a few of them the next day too. So took
have
a
some of that,
couple
youngsters.
Hundred bucks. Yeah, took a couple hundred bucks off Jake McLeod too because he was freaking it up. I negotiated a 5-shot lead from him and took his money. So that was even better.
Well played,
cold
buddy.
Hard cash. Thanks.
Matt, I know I seem to go here every time we talk, but I'm interested in what's the latest with the LIV Tour. Who's fighting the shark now? Are we happy? Are we not happy? Is this thing growing? Where are we at?
Well, it's quite interesting. Tiger now taking a shot at him, McIlroy taking a shot at him, but the news is he's going to stay there for a while and into the new year. And they've just announced more tournaments, obviously the one down in Australia next year. It's going nowhere for the time being. And until a lot of things happen, they're not going to get at the table and talk. But, I don't see they're going to sit at a table for at least 2 or 3 years. The LIV's just going to keep going. And the tour can't, they haven't got that type of money to even go close to what they're going. There's some people that are, some players that aren't happy with the current system of the, elevated events on the PGA Tour. So they're going to have to work that out too on the PGA Tour. So, and I don't think the elevated events are going to work that well because the four majors work well. All the best players in the world, gather around and want to play that. But that'll be the interesting bit. Early February, we'll know the court case on the DP World Tour where the players can play. So players like Jed Morgan, who's a young player from here, won the Australian PGA Championships earlier on in the season. He's waiting on a court case because he did play LIV, but he has got a tour card for the DP World Tour. So he's hoping that he can play both. And the fact is the DP World, the LIV Tour is just another golf tour in the world. That's all it is. It's like the Asian Tour, the Australian Tour, the Canadian Tour. So we'll just have to wait and see.
What do we got on this weekend, Gowie? What is it, the QBE shootout? What
form yeah,
is this,
this mate? Well, talking about the shark, this was always called the shark shootout for years. 30 years.
They've changed
and the poor
it?
Bugger.
Oh, my God.
The poor bugger can't even go back to his own tournament. He's not invited back to his own tournament. It's run by a management company, and it's part of the PGA Tour, and he can't go. So the QBE, they've taken away the shark shootout.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's childish. Well, they took away Ken Smith's locker and a whole heap of things at the Pontevedra headquarters. As soon as he signed with LIV, they're out. So, it was pretty childish. But, this is funny money time of the season. So I won't be betting at this. And I had a look at this is a group thing. This is a partner thing. If I was going to have a bet, Steve Stricker and Cameron Young might be the only two that won't be on the drink for the week. So
how does it work, Gowie?
It's a partner. So me and you play partner, and we play foursomes and we play best ball over the 4 days. So it's a bit of funny money, really. So it's not really serious. The two serious events for the week are Alfred Dunhill Masters, which is in South Africa, and these last couple of events that are played for the season have got some significance to them because there's world ranking points which are attached. Top 50 in the world by the end of this season gets into the Masters next year. So there's a bit to play for in these. There's not massive ranking points, but there'll be definitely at the Alfred Dunhill Masters, there'll be something to play for. So Brendan Grace, he's not playing for world ranking points because he's a LIV player, but I like him at $19. And there's a guy that came out and played the Australian Open last week, Gunnar Wiebe, who finished tied 7th. It didn't finish great on the weekend. I looked through the tab prop. He's at 250 to 1. That's just ridiculous. So I've already backed him before. I told you guys at top 10 at $17, and I've taken him for $6.50. He can seriously play. He has got game. Got a bit caught on the weekend at Victoria Golf Club. Green's got hard and fast for him, and he doesn't play that, but. At Leopard Creek, where he's playing at Alfred Dunhill Masters, way too good at $250, that's for sure.
Yeah, 251 with Tab, Gunnar Wiebe, and as Gowie says, $17 top 10, Brendan Grace, $19 to win the Alfred Dunhill there in South Africa. And you're going to be on course, Gowie, at what, the Gippsland event, the Aussie PGA Gippsland event?
Yeah, this is the last event of the year, and this is an interesting event. It's it goes to match play on Sunday, six-hole match play. So they break it all the way down. There's a cut, and then they make another cut on Saturday and get it down to the last 24 players, and they play six-hole stroke play match play, which is, you know, really good. They go head-to-head over six holes, and they get down to the last two by 5:30. So you can see it all on Fox Sports. I'm going with a young kid, actually, Hayden Hopewell. Finished tied 10th last week in the Australian Open. Flies the radar first. This will be his fourth event as a pro. I actually walked around and watched him last week. I just think he's a kid in the next couple of years that we'll hear a lot from. And Jared Felton, who finished tied 24th at Cathedral and then tied 6th. So he at the Australian Open. So he's in form. I don't know what price he is or Hopewell, actually, but I think Hopewell might be out there a little bit.
It's $21 Hopewell, and I'm trying to find Felton. And I'll let everyone know. But Gowie, thanks so much. Enjoy that event and catch it on Fox Sports.
Thanks, fellas.
Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Big story. So tell us about it. You've co-written it. Ray Thomas has written about it as well in the Telegraph today. So Tommy Berry facing charges as well as some other jockeys as well. What is all this about and what do you think will happen?
Yeah, if you remember correctly, Jared, we did mention this on the program a couple of months ago that the stewards were in the advanced stages of an investigation involving Tommy Berry and a number of other jockeys. And it's taken a while to get to this point, but they've now laid charges against those jockeys. We're waiting for a date for those inquiries to be heard. Actually, what the inquiries or the investigations, I should say, started around were the links between jockeys and professional punters. Tommy Berry has been charged, obviously, with having a link with a professional punter based up there in Queensland and accepting either a cash or benefit in regards to some races. I've got to stress that Tommy's going to vehemently deny the allegations and fight those. He's allowed to continue riding in the interim period, so the stewards are comfortable for him to keep riding until that inquiry is heard at the very soonest possible stage. So that's the issue with Tommy Berry at the moment. The other jockeys are based down in Canberra. We're talking about Jordan Mallion, Jack Martin, Kayla Nisbet. Again, they're charged with having interest with a particular punter based down south called Jacob Hoffman. Again, a couple of those jockeys, including Jordan Mallion and Jack Martin, have been accused of having a bet in some thoroughbred races, which obviously is against the rules of racing. So we've got plenty to play out with this situation. A major inquiry investigation which has been conducted by Racing New South Wales over the last few months. And yesterday was very, very significant news with those charges being laid.
What about Nugget missing out on the Ingham? Are you surprised or do you think that he should have been given a run?
Oh, I'm not overly surprised, Lars. We saw the ballot order earlier in the week. He was always down below the field of 20 as it stood. He was going to need some luck with some horses not accepting. He still can get a run in the race on Saturday. He's going to need a couple of scratchings, to be fair. But it just looked like a lovely race for him, didn't it? Sort of lightly raced horse on the up, going through his grades. Randwick Mile, perfect for him third up. But unfortunately, as it stands at the moment, he's not going to be in the race. So whether you agree with it or not, that's the system we've got in place at the moment for deciding which horse is getting to particular races. And it just isn't it great to see a big Randwick Mile again in the summer. The old Villiers now renamed the Ingham and have a full field of runners. Having 20 runners is fantastic. So very much looking forward to the race, but unfortunately for Kieran Mara, David Eustace and the Australian Bloodstock boys, they're going to need some luck to get Nugget into the race on Saturday.
Now, the Hong Kong International Jockeys Challenge last night at Happy Valley, and there were dual winners.
Yeah, Sylvester D'Souza, Jared and Tom Marquand shared the honours. I only caught a few of the highlights this morning, and it is a bit of a random draw, isn't it, really, to decide who wins this concept, because the jockeys are allocated horses on a random basis across four different races, so we can claim Tom Marquand, can't we, Jeremy? We used to call him Aussie Tom, didn't we, when he came down to Australia for a short riding stint a couple of years ago, and he's had a lot of success down here. So we can sort of claim him to some respects. But, Jamie Carr and Huey Bowman both had placings on the program there yesterday. Couldn't quite do enough to get across the line. So the honours going with the overseas British-based riders, and yet another great night at Happy Valley there by all reports last night.
Go, Mido.
I was going to say, what's been the reaction to the prize money increases and also the schedule changes made by Racing Victoria?
Yeah, they've definitely forced their hand, hasn't it, Loz? Sorry, Jared, with a couple of massive increases in prize money. And no doubt the two big ones were the Australian Cup, with the prize money doubling from $500,000 to $3 million. The Blue Diamonds also got a pretty big lift up to $2 million. And obviously the Roy Higgins Qualies are now being one of those golden ticket races for the Melbourne Cup, so that's going to increase the amount of chances the local horses will get to get into the Melbourne Cup. But the one big change, I must admit, which I thought was a great change, is they've moved the Australian Cup to a week after the All-Star Mile. And in the past, we've had a 2,000-metre race, the Australian Cup, before the All-Star Mile, and it just didn't quite make sense. So I think that little tinker or change to the program down there in Victoria is going to help. So obviously we've had some massive, massive prize money increases in New South Wales over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. Victoria probably think they can't sit there and on their hands any longer and decide to pump some more money into some of those big autumn races. And I suppose the big winners, boys, are the participants.
Different sport. What did you make of David Warner, his decision to withdraw an application over his lifetime leadership ban? Now, we've discussed it this morning, and there's a lot of different views on our text line and with our listeners. Where do you stand on it all, Adam? And do you think Cricket Australia gave them the right penalty, wrong penalty? Should they be allowed to captain? What's your thoughts?
Firstly, Loz, it's just dragged on for far too long, hasn't it, really? Like, you know, what are we, 4 years? More than 4 years after the fact, and we're still going through these issues. They should have been dealt with a long time ago. Whether you agree with David Warner having a chance to captain a team or a Big Bash franchise again or not, it's been done at least, I would say, 2 years ago. So I can understand where David's coming from and how it's dragged on for so long and why he's so frustrated and doesn't want to, I suppose, put his family through this process again. And that was quite an emotive statement last night, wasn't it? Like, that was a real line in the sand for him saying, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to keep going with this. I think you've taken far too long to get to this point. And he's made his stance. But as has been mentioned, I think, by a couple of people on the text line this morning, and you guys are talking about it, we still don't know the full story, do we, with what happened in South Africa? Like, no one knows exactly the extent of who knew what, for how long it was going on. And I think the Australian public, to a large extent, find it hard to move on. We don't know the full story.
Yeah.
So I can understand why a lot of people think that David Warner shouldn't captain again, because we just don't know the full truth, Clarkie. That's the fact of the matter.
I think you're spot on, mate. I actually think that is the most concerning thing out of this. Everyone's got questions around the footage they saw on the big screen around, you know, Darren Lehman on the walkie-talkie, Peter Hanscom on the walkie-talkie, the conversation around how do the bowlers not know what's happening with the ball that's in their hand every day. Even further to, well, they all sit in a change room that's, you know, it's not three levels. It's a small cricket change room.
Yeah.
You can't keep a secret in Australia. How can you keep a secret in a cricket change room? So, look, I'm silly for opening my mouth even on this show about this, because it's rehashing stuff that has scarred me extremely deeply. And I know everyone that loves the game, that when this is spoken about, it just puts leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But, Adam, you're 100% right. There's question marks everywhere.
Just a quick question, Clarky, before you go. Do you think this is going to push David Warner more towards being a T20 gun for hire and just walk away from Australian cricket from now on?
I don't think it matters, mate. Like, that's the other thing as well. Davey's at an age now where he, honestly, if all goes to plan, he's 12 months away from retiring. That's if all goes to plan. So, you know, I'd love to see him get to the Ashes, have an awesome series, win the Ashes and retire on his own accord. That would be a dream come true. But and Davey's style of play, he will be able to walk away from Test cricket and go play 3 or 4 years of the 2020 junket and fill his boots cash-wise. I think he'd be silly not to do that. But this is shown. Look, I think Davey and Cricket Australia have had a what's the right word?
Volatile?
Well, let's call it a mixed relationship from the start of his career, and it will be to the end of his career. And Davey will get his chance. Don't worry. That book that was, you know, he was going to do for $1 million, he might just get $5 million for it now. Don't worry about that.
It is going to be the biggest must-read book.
Yeah, and I can tell you now, James Erskine, his manager, he'll know exactly where to go to get that money as well, let me tell you.
Just before you go, Adam, you're getting some love on the text line for your tip yesterday. So high blue sea, wasn't it, in the last at the farm? So, mate, take the wins when you get them, mate.
Take them.
I'll take it. I'll take it, boys. And we'll try up tomorrow and find something at Ramic on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thank you, mate.
See you, boys.